Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Greetings to you all in the Master's name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In today's special day, I know that we have been attending in person, but today, because of the general body, we are meeting over online. But I believe that the presence of God is moving in our midst. He is moving powerfully in the midst of us. So let us be in an attitude of prayer. Let us be in an attitude of worship. We have gathered here this morning not because there's a general body meeting. We have gathered here this morning because not because there's a church service. We've gathered here this morning to bring glory to God. We have gathered here to praise His holy name. Hallelujah. Let us thank God. Let us praise God with our mouths. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You alone are worthy of all praise. This morning, because of the following ceremony, I want to just take a little bit of time to talk about a psalm from Psalm 13. Hallelujah. Sangeetanam Padimunam Sangeetanam. We are going to read Psalm 13, and I'll give a very short thought, and we will move into a time of worship. He says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" Hallelujah. The first two verses of Psalm 13, it starts with, "How long, O Lord?" This psalm has four how longs. And I want to talk about this psalm because this is a lament psalm. It is a psalm that was written by David during a time of difficulty. There are seasons in a Christian's life where they feel abandoned by God. There are seasons in a Christian's life where they feel that God is hiding His face from them. When verse 2 we see David is saying, "How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart?" This is interesting because you see, children of God, we often think about joy in the presence of God. Paul says, "Rejoice." And again, I say rejoice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice and joy are something that a Christian experiences in their lifetime. In fact, I believe that God gives joy to His people. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. So sometimes when we are experiencing God's presence, we experience strength and joy and we experience happiness. Joy and happiness are different. Happiness is an emotion. Joy is a decision. Happiness is when you see something that makes you happy, you become happy. Happy is an emotion. You don't control when you are happy and when you're not happy. You see something good, it makes you happy. You see something funny, it makes you laugh. If you see something sad, you feel like crying. You feel sad. In the same way, happiness is an emotion. Anger is an emotion. Sad is an emotion. We can control ourselves when we are happy or sad or angry. It's an emotion that we experience. Joy is not like that. Joy is a decision. God gives His joy to His people. In fact, it is possible to choose joy in every circumstance. When we sing songs and we think of God's provision and we think of what God has done for us, count your blessings, name them one by one. When we look back, we have a decision to make. I can choose to see my problem right now, or I can experience God's joy in this moment. Paul says, "Rejoice," and again I say, "Rejoice." It means that we have an option to take joy and rejoice in the name of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. In Proverbs, there's a verse that says, "A broken spirit dries up the bones, but a joyful heart is good medicine." A person who is experiencing sadness and brokenness will experience weakness, and even their bones are dry. That's what Proverbs says. In fact, medicine has proved this Proverbs. It says that stress, depression, anxiety, pain can cause a person's immunity to suffer. Whereas happiness, joy, and choosing optimism and positive outlook helps boost a person's immunity. In fact, our body responds like this. A joyful heart is good medicine. That is being proved by science today. But there are seasons, brothers and sisters, there are seasons in our life where we experience sorrow. All of us have experienced sorrow. We may be even Christian. We may be Christians for 20, 30 years. But that does not mean that we do not go through moments of sorrow. Some of the greatest moments of sorrow in our life is when we sense that God is silent. Devam nammada adutha mindadirikkumbo nammada hrudayam sangadam sangadathil pogan opportunity. This is the time when we go sad, we get depressed. David is going through the season. He says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever?" This David is the person who wrote these beautiful songs. He knows God does not forget him. He knows God is his provider. He is the one that we read this morning writing this beautiful Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He says in the end that Psalm, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is such a beautiful psalm. But the same author of that psalm which said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is writing this psalm that says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? Children of God, we know God is with us. Jesus said, I will be with you until the end of the age. He never leaves us nor abandons us. One of the names of Jesus is Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. So then how can a Christian or a believer or some person who believes in the authority of Scripture reach a point where they say, God, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? David is writing this psalm, and oftentimes Christians have called this the psalm of the dark night of the soul. It is a season that every mature Christian has to go through. It is a season where they are trying to spend time with God. They're reading the Bible. They're praying. But God seems silent. Hannah experienced this when she was in the throne room of God. When she approached the temple of God, she is pouring out her cry, her suffering before God. Abraham experienced this when he was childless. He came and poured out his suffering before God. Children of God, even Jesus experienced pain, came to the Garden of Gethsemane and poured out his heart of suffering before God. Remember, just because we choose joy, just because we are children of God, does not mean that we do not go through suffering, does not mean we do not go through sorrow. And at certain moments, it can feel like God is quiet. God has hidden his face. God has abandoned us. But it is during that time when we need to remind ourselves of the promises of God. Let us read verses 3 to 6 of this psalm, Psalm 13. It says, look in me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. Verse 5 and 6, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. You see, all of a sudden, the psalm changes in the last two verses. When this psalm starts, he says, how long, Lord? എത്ര നാളാണ് ഞാൻ പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുന്നത് ഈ വിഷയത്തിന് വേണ്ടി? എത്ര നാളാണ് ഞാൻ ഇടിവിൽ നിന്ന് ഈ വിഷയത്തിന് വേണ്ടി സൗഖ്യം പ്രാപിക്കുന്നു പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുന്നത്? ഹൗ ലോങ് ഓ ലോർഡ് ഐ ബീൻ വെയിറ്റിംഗ് ടു സീ യുവർ ഹാൻഡ്, ഹൗ ലോങ് ഓ ലോർഡ് ഐ ബീൻ ഡെസ്പറേറ്റ്, ഹൗ ലോങ് ഹാവ് ഐ ബീൻ പ്രേയിങ്, ഹൗ ലോങ് ഓ ലോർഡ് ഡു യു ഈവൻ ഹിയർ മൈ പ്രേയേഴ്സ്? This morning, when you pray this prayer, let me tell you, you do not have to be afraid because people think that you are not rejoicing. You see, your pain is something that nobody else can experience, but God experiences it with you. In fact, when Martha and Mary was experiencing the pain of the loss of their brother Lazarus, one of the most famous short words that Jesus said, the verses that said Jesus wept, was written in that context. Not because he knew, did not know that he is going to raise Lazarus. There is no doubt in Jesus' mind that he went there. He told his disciples, now is the time for us to go and meet Lazarus because he is sleeping, which means that Jesus knows why he is going to Bethany. He goes to Bethany with one mindset that he's going to raise Lazarus from his sleep, from his tomb. He had no doubt. But he is a God who feels our emotions. When we go through pain, when we go through suffering, he is a God who feels our emotions. In the same way, sometimes when my child, Jedediah, when he cries, I can't help but feel pain in my heart. Especially Betty, Betty knows that she is the ultimate provider for Jedediah. In this example, we know God is the ultimate provider for all human beings. But in this example, Betty has the answer for Jedediah's cry. But when we hear the cry, we feel the pain of our children. In the same way, God hears our cry. And he understands our pain. He understands our emotion. He understands our suffering. And he hurts along with us. God is not a God who abandons his children in the middle of a cry. Sometimes our emotion makes it seem that God is not there. Sometimes our frustration makes it seem that God has forgotten us. Sometimes in our depression, in our sorrow, it feels like we are wrestling with our thoughts and God is not helping us. And sometimes it seems like the enemy has triumphed over us. But this morning, I want to remind you, church, verse 5, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. Know that you have placed your trust in the utmost high God. Our God is not a God who forgets his promise. This word, unfailing love, in Hebrew means hesed, or his loving kindness is often how it's translated in English. This Hesed is a covenantal love. It is a love that God promises to his children. And it is an eternal love. It is a never failing love. Let us place our trust not in our emotions, not in our circumstance, not in our thoughts, not in our surroundings, but let us place our trust in God's promise that he will never leave us nor abandon us, that he is never failing. His love never fails. And the second part of that is, my heart rejoices in your salvation. At every circumstance that you go through, I am not trying to belittle your problem. I am not saying that your sorrow should be just put to the side. I'm not saying that You have to force yourself to be happy. No, I'm not saying that. In fact, Jesus experienced sorrow. Paul experiences sorrow when Epaphras, his fellow worker, is going through suffering and almost dies. Paul says, I experienced sorrow and God spared me from further sorrow by giving Epaphras back to me. So Paul, who says, rejoice, and again I say rejoice, experience sorrow. It is not that children of God cannot experience sorrow. We experience sorrow. We don't have to force ourselves to be happy. But there's something else different here. It says, my heart rejoices in your salvation. It means that God will have saved us in the past. He will save us and he will continue to save us. And when we place our hope in that, we can rejoice. It is a choice to be joyful in the midst of your circumstances. Children of God, we are a different group of people. We are marked by the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Joy is an emotion we choose to keep because it does not depend on our circumstances. It is something where we surrender ourselves to God. If this morning you're struggling to experience joy in your life, this morning you're struggling because you are asking God, how long, oh Lord? Look, count your blessings. Name things that God has done in your life. Look in the past and see what has God accomplished in you. And you will be able to rejoice and thank God. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me life. Thank you for giving me a house. Thank you for giving me clothes. Thank you for giving me food. Thank you for giving me a church. Thank you for giving me family. Thank you for giving me so many things that other people don't have. We have reason to rejoice even more. Because God has saved us from eternal death. God has saved us from hell. God has saved us from destruction. He gave his only son and allowed him to go through a dark sorrow, the sorrow of the night, the dark sorrow of the night, where Jesus experienced the separation from his Father so that we will never have to experience separation from our Heavenly Father. In the same way, if we remember that, we can do verse 6. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. How are we able to do this? Even though David started the psalm, remember, there is nothing here that said that God changed the circumstances. There is nothing here that says that God spoke to him. There is nothing here that God has delivered him. Nothing. In other Psalms, we see that God delivered me from Sheol. God raised my life from the pit. Here, we don't see that. God rescued me from my enemies. Here, we don't see that. There is no answer for David's prayer. But what he does, he places his trust in God's unfailing love. And his heart rejoices in God's salvation. So now he's able to sing the Lord's praise. And then he's able to remind himself, God has been good to me. Children of God, it doesn't matter what circumstance you're going through. Whether you're going through sorrow, whether you're going through pain, whether you're going through depression, whether you're praying anxiety, whether you're going through financial crisis, it doesn't matter. Maybe you're experiencing sorrow. There is nothing wrong with experiencing sorrow. But let me remind you, children of God, choose joy. And how can you choose joy? By saying, God, I remember what you have done for me. Thank you. You have saved me from the past. You will save me now. You will continue saving me in the future. Trust is in his unfailing love. And your heart will be able to rejoice again. I'm going to end my words. Let's bow our heads and close for prayer. Father, Lord Jesus, God, I don't know the circumstances that your children are going through. I'm not saying, Lord, that we have to force happiness, that you don't understand our sorrow. In fact, Father, the Bible teaches us that you're a God who identifies with our sorrow, that you experienced pain on earth, that you wept along with Martha and Mary. You experience our pain as your own. Even though you have the answer for us, it does not stop you from experiencing the pain and sorrow that we experience. But Lord, this morning, sometimes our emotion tells us, our thoughts tell us that you have abandoned us, you have left us, that we are all alone, that you are not there. And it's frustrating, and we feel, how long, oh Lord, how long will it take for you to move for us? But God, I pray, Father, that we will look back and see your provision, your care, your love, how you have carried us in the past, how you will carry us right now, and how you will continue to carry us, and place trust in that, Lord. And Father, trust in the promise that Emmanuel, God with us, the God who promised he will never leave us nor forsake us, is with us forevermore. Lord, I pray that we will be able to rejoice in what you have accomplished for us. Rejoice in the salvation you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, in doing so, help us to sing praise. Help us to see your goodness and praise you for what you are doing, what you have done, and what you will do. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to end my words here. Let us continue in a time of worship where we sing praises to our God and choose to remember what God has done and rejoice evermore. May God bless you all with these words.